A great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great nation, despite the fact that we are being engulfed by a wave of unhappiness, despair, desperation, and discontent. Why? And what makes us so very unhappy at the moment? Why have we fallen in the happiness rating that they do every year from Gallup and the United Nations? Where we are now not even in the top 20. We are right next to the Gulf Emirates in terms of discontent and unhappiness. And in terms of people under the age of 30, we are 62nd. There are 61 nations that seem to be more hopeful, more satisfying, more positive in the eyes of young people. We'll be speaking coming up to the author of what has become a very controversial column since it appeared yesterday. It is called, basically, Why Are Americans So Unhappy? It's written by Tara Sonnenschein, who was a former Undersecretary of State. We'll be speaking to her. We'll also be speaking to Tom Nichols, one of our favorite guests. He's a former professor, academic at the Naval War College for many years. And he is writing about the death of expertise. Was it really the pandemic that caused the death of expertise, the fact that nobody believes any authority figures right now? In fact, anyone who's an authority figure who looks to be an expert on something is usually characterized as an elitist and someone you absolutely should not listen to or take seriously. And then there is more of the reaction to the tragic accident, and it was an accident, involving the aid workers from the World Central Kitchen who were killed within the last 48 hours. They were killed by an Israeli strike. And there is something very much to Israel's credit, says Matthew Hennessy of the Wall Street Journal, that something to Israel's credit that is involved with the reaction to that horrible development. We will be speaking with Matthew Hennessy about what that is and what is different about Israel. And speaking about different about Israel, one of the things that is a problem in Israel, but it's becoming a problem in the United States, and a particularly intense one, is the mixture of religion and politics. The idea that your political orientation doesn't just make you a member of a party or of a group that shares political ideas, but it makes you part of a cult, in effect. David French is going to be speaking to us about efforts on the part of moderates, even independents, and yes, Democrats, to try to play back, answer back the game that says that basically Donald Trump is a savior figure. There has been lots of discussion about President Trump comparing himself to Jesus and talking about how he is suffering for our sins. David French wrote a piece called Trump is No Savior. Well, that I guess will be decided by the voters. And there's also, and it can begin with this. I mean, there's a new poll that shows that Trump is ahead. This is from the Wall Street Journal. He is ahead in 6 of the 7 crucial swing states that will decide the election. But none of those leads are in any sense overwhelming or definitive at this stage of the campaign. One of the other pieces of analysis that we're going to be considering is when it is Trump is going to announce his running mate and who that running mate is likely to be. A lot of money shifted in the direction of betting on Tulsi Gabbard because she let it be known she was offered the vice presidency by Robert Kennedy Jr., but after intensive research, she figured, you know, Robert Kennedy's not going to get elected. So why should I run with him when there is a real possibility that she could be chosen by Trump? We will see about that. But according to the Wall Street Journal poll, Donald Trump is leading President Biden in 6 of the 7 most competitive states in the 2024 election, propelled by broad voter dissatisfaction with the national economy and deep doubts about Biden's capabilities and job performance, a new Wall Street Journal poll finds. The poll of the election's main battlegrounds shows Trump holding leads of between 2 and 8 percentage points in 6 states: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina, on a test ballot that includes a third party and independent candidates. Trump holds similar leads when voters were asked to choose only between him and Biden. But it won't be only between him and Biden. It will be a ballot that has on many states, not necessarily all of them, people like Jill Stein, who will be on the ballot in virtually every state from the Green Party, and from Robert Kennedy Jr., if he does make that deal with the Libertarian Party, and Cornel West, who knows. The outlier is Wisconsin. Isn't that fascinating? Where Biden leads by 3 points on the multiple candidate ballot, and the two candidates are tied head-to-head, showing that in Wisconsin, which is the best state for Biden of these 7, according to this poll, in Wisconsin, there's no question that the third-party and fourth-party candidates would be harming Biden. Part of what Biden is doing is the Democrats now have a new ad out. We'll play it for you, that appeals directly to religious voters, indicating that just as President Trump says the only people who can be taken seriously as believers are people who believe both in the Lord and in the Trump. And this one, not quite the same message, but the same idea in appealing to a particular voting group. News today, according to the Washington Post, President Biden said he was outraged and heartbroken by the Israeli Defense Forces strike that killed 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza, urging Israel to better protect aid workers and civilians there. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel deeply regrets the incident, while the IDF said the strike was a grave mistake and the result of misidentification. And again, as people say, when the skies are full of lead, it is dangerous down below. We will also be talking about the other danger that was developed yesterday, which involves Iran and the possibility of a World War III. If Iran is close enough to developing a nuclear weapon that they could try one out by sending it in the direction of Tel Aviv, would they do that? I will be speaking to Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute about the possibility of the war in the Middle East getting much, much worse, and involving potentially American forces and, who knows, even the American homeland. All of that on an extraordinarily busy day, an eventful day on the Michael Medved Show. Plus, election dread is real, says an opinion piece, but the voters have the Biden-Trump blues. But they shouldn't, because this is a great election. What's great about it? We'll get to that and more coming up on The Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
On the Michael Medved Show, President Trump was on the campaign trail yesterday, speaking at a rally, big rally, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and also speaking in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, Wisconsin and Michigan are two absolutely crucial states that will help determine who the next president is. It was not that close in Michigan last time. President Biden won by 150,000 votes, actually closer to 160,000 votes. And in Wisconsin, both times, both in 2016, Trump won by about 10,000 votes in all of Wisconsin. And then Biden won last time by about 20,000 votes, which also made it one of the closest states. The closest state for Trump that he won was North Carolina. And that, again, is now being listed as one of those key swing states, even though it has been heavily Republican. There's right now a very troubled Republican nominee for governor, the sitting lieutenant governor. Governor Robinson, but that's a different story. At his rally in Green Bay, Wisconsin, speaking right after Easter Day, he spoke about some of the anti-Easter outrage. What is it? It's anti-trans Easter outrage. And what all of this is based upon is the fact that for it's been about 9 years so far, we have had a Trans Visibility Day, which was on March 31st. And they didn't move Trans Visibility Day. President Biden did not ignore Easter. He came out with the Easter Bunny. They rolled eggs. They had some 40,000 people who persisted. President Biden talked about Easter. But President Trump, at his rally in Green Bay, talked about the outrage of Easter also being, by coincidence, Trans Visibility Day. Here is President Trump, clip 8.
And November 5th, we are going to win this state. We're going to win the White House, and we are going to save our country. We're going to save our country. And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians. And November 5th is going to be called something else. You know, it's going to be called Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen.
Okay. By the way, President Biden did not create the designation of Trans Visibility Day on March 31st. Again, that had been the case going back to the days of the Trump administration. Though I'm not sure how the Trans Visibility Day was observed during. Nobody knew it existed at all, really. Not last year, not the year before, not the year before that. And only when it is a conflict, because it occurs on Easter Sunday, Trans Visibility Day, there was no indication that the Easter Bunny. And by the way, this is interesting. Who was inside the Easter Bunny suit is one of the questions that they are asking in the White House press corps. And apparently the consensus is, and he hasn't denied it, that it was Admiral Kirby. John Kirby, the spokesperson for the National Security Council, apparently he dressed up as the Easter Bunny for the occasion of the White House Easter egg roll. And by the way, there was no new ban on religious messages on the Easter eggs. The ruling has been from the United Egg Council. It's been there for more than 50 years. Nothing changed in 50 years. But then again, we live in a campaign season where anything that either candidate does that could be controversial is going to be the basis for attack. Well, for instance, President Trump proclaiming the imminent end of America. Why? He explained everything in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in his normal logical approach.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country's going.
Okay. By the way, do you remember people said the same thing? I remember having these arguments with people in 2016, where there were people on both sides who were saying that if Trump wins, we'll never have another election. It's the last election we'll ever have. People said if Hillary wins, we'll never have another election. That's the end. I'll tell you what we do know is that when this election occurs, if Trump wins and if Biden wins, either way, it will be the last time there is ever a Trump or Biden rematch. Why? Because one of them is going to get a second term, and the Constitution says, no, you can't have more than two terms. By the way, does anybody really think that if Trump loses this election, which could happen, that he would come back and run again? Of course he would. It's 100%. What else is he going to do? First of all, he's got a lot of bills to pay, and it's easier to raise money to pay some of the legal bills and some of the fines when you're running for president. Okay, so the idea that the country is going to cease to exist, how would America cease to exist? I mean, how would that work? Could somebody write a treatment for a movie or an outline for a novel that would explain how America would cease to exist? I have more confidence than that in our country. There's this clip three also from Trump in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Listen.
Under crooked Joe Biden, every state is now a border state. Every town is now a border town because Joe Biden has brought the carnage and chaos and killing from all over the world and dumped it straight into our backyards.
Biden has brought the chaos and killing from all over the world. Is that why in the last 2 years, when we've had a big problem with immigration, no question about it, and we do need to improve border security, no question about it. But there's also no question about it that in all the major cities in America, with the, I think it's three exceptions of the top 50 cities, the murder rate has gone down for the last 2 years. The murder rate went up during three of the 4 years, I believe it was, or at least two of the 4 years when Trump was president. The idea that Joe Biden has brought the carnage and the chaos and the killing from all over the world and dumped it straight into our backyards. Wow. There is more. Why is America so unhappy right now? We'll be talking about that coming up on The Medved Show.
Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, pleasure to welcome to the show Tara Sonnenschein, who is a former United States Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs. She is also a senior fellow at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. She wrote earlier this week, powerful column under the headline, Why Are Americans So Unhappy? It appeared in The Hill. And not only does it try to explain why Americans are so unhappy, there are also some suggestions about what we can do about it. Tara Sonnenschein, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
First of all, what you were suggesting is that this is not simply a matter of age. In fact, the most unhappy and disappointed and disillusioned group is young people, people under 30. In that new UN ranking of happiness around the world, American young people were 62nd. Not even in the first division, not even in the major leagues in terms of happiness. What's making people so miserable?
Well, let's step back for a moment. This poll, these rankings actually began by the Gallup organization, very good organization, back in 2012. So they've been tracking some of this. And I think what stood out this year, as you mentioned, is first of all, overall, America is 23rd this year. We dropped from last year's happy place of 15th. But as you said, as I dissected some of the data, it's the under 30 that really brought down our happiness average. And it seems to me to be a number of factors. One, we forget that a lot of young people are paying student loans and feeling the economic crunch. They're not feeling that their wages are really meeting prices on just a very basic level. There's also, for those young people who are trying to start a family, some difficulties in child support and meeting some of the needs on the social side. And then there's kind of what you might call the existential worries that many young people have, everything from climate change to war. So this group of under 30 is really feeling quite unhappy. Interestingly, the older folks that you would think would be somewhat of the lonelier people, we're doing a little bit better than those under 30.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when it is broken down into this study, in terms of the mentioned financial challenges that younger people face, you also talk about the bitter divisions that have grown up in America that have been exacerbated, to be sure, by some of the silo effect that people talk about with social media and different platforms. If you want to isolate yourself in an entirely conservative world or an entirely progressive world, you can do that and then look over to the other side as the demonic enemy.
Well, it's interesting. Some of the other studies I've looked at show that regardless of what political party you belong to, the political dysfunction has made people unhappy on both sides, along with a deep lack of confidence in public institutions, in the media, in the courts. So when you begin to layer onto that a pandemic that certainly affected young people, stress, the anxiety of social media, you do get this kind of stovepipe society, which is very different when I looked at a place like Finland, which ironically has always been the happiest country. Today had sadly
a school
gun
shooting,
violence,
yeah,
shooting. So it was quite a difficult day. But traditionally, Finland, a smaller country, has prided itself on a lot of outdoor nature, people being less connected to their devices, and also for a generosity culture, which I think on the positive side, we could learn a lot from, to do a little bit more generous listening, a little bit more community building, a little bit more getting out in nature, and a little bit less of this internal feeling of dissent and depression.
Okay, there's also a new Gallup poll. We were mentioning the Gallup organization before, which did the basic surveying for this happiness ranking we were talking about. In the new Gallup poll, they asked people, do you think that either Trump or Biden would make a good president? You know how many people thought either one of them would be a good president? 3 out of 10.
And I think what's also happening there is young people are feeling that. And I worry that if you are somebody who was thinking about getting into politics, running for local, state, national office, you would think, you know, nobody likes anybody in this race. what a deterrent to our young people to want to get in there and serve. So I think we all have to take a moment, take a deep breath, think about what kind of America we're looking to build. And if one side were a lot happier on the Trump side or the Biden side, we'd say, okay, no problem. But if there's misery going all around in a circle, I think we got to focus on that.
Okay, you say that what is the solution to America's unhappiness? Number one, we have to start listening to each other, a generous listening, as you put it. And then second, you say we have to return to a spirit of openness and positivity, if for no other reason than for our health and well-being. That goes along with what Vivek Murthy, the United States Surgeon General, has been saying about the loneliness epidemic.
There are medical studies that show that when you are depressed or down or disillusioned, your body responds that way. It too can become depressed, and your even vital organs register that stress and toxicity. I would almost go block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, and look after each other, because I think to try to do this at the global, national level is very difficult, but we can start with just people driving today who may feel a bit of rage. Maybe think twice about that rage. Think twice about the toxic nature of our behavior. Maybe try a simple thank you, a simple positive thought, and maybe perception can match reality.
Yeah, wouldn't that be, when you talk about driving from neighbor to neighbor, neighborhood to neighborhood, a part of this also relates to another problem that has been written about a great deal, which is the retreat of religion and less involvement with religious institutions. I was thinking about some of the truly joyous events in the synagogue that I'm proud to attend that happened not just on the weekend, not just on Saturday, but all through the week, welcoming babies, engagements, some of the positive signs that were worth celebrating. I think that's in line with what Tara Sonnenschein has encouraged with her terrific column, which is posted on our website at michaelmedved.com, Why Are Americans So Unhappy? And there are solutions available, maybe not political. We'll get to some of those political wannabe solutions, including a new ad from the Biden forces that is aimed at religious people, coming up on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show. All across America, this is The Michael Medved Show. More of Michael Medved in a moment.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a real dread surrounding this election. And in fact, there's a piece by Jess Bidgood in the New York Times. Big full-page piece. Election dread is real. Voters have the Biden-Trump blues. And this was written before the new poll from Gallup showing which only less than 30% of all voters in the United States think that either Trump or Biden would make a good president. Now, what's fascinating about that is they've both been president before. And people are so dissatisfied with what Trump did as president, they're so dissatisfied with what Biden is doing as president, that 70% don't think either of them are. If this isn't an opportunity for a third party candidate who isn't a nutburger like Robert Kennedy Jr. It's extraordinary. And speaking to Tara Sonnenschein about her column in The Hill about why America is so unhappy, clearly one of the reasons we're so unhappy at this moment and all of a sudden we're plummeting in the world happiness ratings, people hate this election. They really do. They look at the changes. And for instance, is this the kind of thing that just lifts the spirit and makes you feel better and more proud to be an American? This is President Trump speaking in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Clip four.
Before you today to declare that Joe Biden's border bloodbath, it's a border bloodbath, and it's destroying our country. It's a very bad thing happening. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. Not one more innocent life should be lost to Biden migrant crime. The first step to restoring safety in America is to fire crooked Joe Biden, get him out November 5th. We don't want them coming into our country with contagious diseases, and they have it. And all of a sudden, you see these contagious diseases spreading. Once peaceful, suburban Michigan is really now, you're under an invasion.
Once peaceful, suburban Michigan? You know, Michigan has a big city in it called Detroit, which has not ever been described as particularly peaceful or suburban. And then there's Trump about how things will change immediately, quickly, and automatically when he becomes president. This, again, is Trump continuing along the same lines. Clip two.
On day one, I will seal the border and we'll begin the largest domestic deportation operation in the history of our country. And if other countries say they won't take them back, we're not going to take them back. I will say that, yeah, here they come. You're just going to hold on to your britches, because here they come. They're coming back.
Okay, this will work almost as well as getting Mexico to pay for the wall. I mean, what I love is on day one, I will seal the border. And he'll do that by reaching around under the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, looking for that big lever. There it is. That's the border sealing lever. We pull that lever and boom, the border is sealed. And it's all fixed up. There is a new ad, I mentioned this, by a group called Faith Forward. And the Faith Forward people are among those, and I salute them for this, saying that they are not ready to write off the community of Christian believers as automatic Trumpers, as automatic believers in Trump as a kind of savior. People who support, for instance, his frequent invocations over the last month, comparing him to Jesus and to other martyrs who have suffered for the sins of others. This is a new ad by Faith Forward in support of Joe Biden that is illustrated. You can hear the ad. What it's illustrated by is a series of still pictures of Biden meeting with various groups of Americans at his desk, getting on and off the plane. None of it is, it's all still pictures, I'm sure Republicans would say, to make sure that they don't show him tripping or anything like that. But it's all a smiling and busy-looking Biden in the background. The ad sounds like this.
On the sixth day, God made all of us. God said we need leaders who can unite rather than divide, who stand on morals and values, and who don't idolize dictators and bullies. God said I need someone to protect consumers and farmers from corporate greed, workers from wage theft, students from crushing debt, homeowners from discriminatory lending, seniors from overpriced medicine, and loved ones from gun violence. God said I need someone with arms strong enough to protect the planet, strong enough to fight monstrous evils spreading across the globe. God said I need someone willing to give their whole life in service. And so President Biden answered the call. God made us all. Together, we make our democracy strong. Thank God we chose a faithful president who doesn't worship himself, nor undermine the Constitution he swore to uphold. For such a time as this, we pray to God what is true in our hearts. 4 more years.
It's at least a more gentle tone than we've heard it a lot of the advertising so far this election season. Speaking of a more gentle tone, Robert F. Kennedy had made some headlines saying that he thought that Biden was a worse threat to democracy than President Trump. Which is revealing in terms of where he positions himself in the Trump-Biden dichotomy. He was on with Chris Cuomo on News Nation, and he walked that back a little bit. This is clip 12.
You think that President Biden has done more objectionable things vis-a-vis our democracy than former President Trump did in the aftermath of the last election?
No, as you heard, Chris, what I said was that I can make this argument, and I didn't say definitively whether I believed one or the other was more dangerous than democracy. I did say that I don't believe either of them are going to destroy democracy. Both sides are telling us the other guy is the end of the republic. But, you know, they're both lame duck presidents. They're going to be in there 4 years. Their opponent, political opponents are going to be announced 2 years later. There'll be a new Congress in 2 years later, and we have strong institutions in our country. We have judiciary, we have the press to some extent, we've got Congress, and you have the military. You've got a lot of institutions that are bulwarks against a tyrant coming in and taking over democracy. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, he's right. I don't think it's going to happen either. But somehow this... When just listening to Robert Kennedy Jr., is that reassuring and explaining that they will both be lame duck presidents? And what he's saying about this is that nobody there can be a two-term president, whereas that he, Robert Kennedy, not having been president before, he is eligible under the Constitution to serve for 2 full terms. The chances of him winning this election, almost nil. The chance of him determining the outcome of this election, they are very real. Coming up on the Michael Medved Show, we're going to be talking a little bit about the pushback against the state of Israel because of the tragic death and unintentional death involved as a mistake that Israel, again, has repeatedly now acknowledged. Why is that a very different kind of reaction than you would see from other political entities? We'll be talking to Matthew Hennessy of the Wall Street Journal about that. And then more coming up about the danger of making a religion out of politics or making a politics out of one religion or another. It's kind of hard to compromise if you think that what you're dealing with is a question of ultimate and eternal truth, though there are such truths which should animate this greatest nation on God's green earth.